Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Evan Giddings and Dan Abone, welcome to the final hour of Warriors This Week. And Warriors This Week with more of an upbeat approach. And that's what happens when you win a couple of games, as have the Golden State Warriors. Winners of their last two. Good opportunity to make it three in a row this evening against the Atlanta Hawks. We'll talk a little more about Atlanta. Oh, by the way, I'm going to continue with my factoids, right? You ready for another one?
Hit me.
Do you know who Cliff Clavin is? Or does this predate you, obviously?
Cliff Clavin? Yeah, it might be before my time.
He used to be the mailman on, what was the name of that show? Cheers. So he would come
in. Yeah, that's before my time.
Yeah, he would just come in with these, you know, these nuggets of information. Half of them were made up, but you didn't know that. So talked about Brandon Pajemski, and he became the first rookie with 14 assists and no turnovers. The 14 assists was the most by a rookie since Ben Simmons, then of the Philadelphia 76ers. The last Golden State Warrior rookie with 14 assists. You want to take a shot?
Mark Jackson with the C?
Oh, wow. I didn't see that coming. No, he's a current Warrior, and he wears number 30. Yeah, Steph Curry.
Oh, Steph?
That was the last time.
There you go.
He had a Warrior rookie with that many assists. Big, big ball game last night for Brandon Pajemski and the Golden State Warriors. I've thrown this out there. I think it's time to see him as a starter in supplanting Klay Thompson. I think the Warriors are just old with Klay. He plays like an older player, not to diminish, you know, what it is that he means to the team. And not to relegate him to, you know, DMP and or trade him. I'm not going there. I'm just saying mitigate his role, and role being the operative word. Have him more of a role player as opposed to a guy that you're, you know, theoretically going to start and or close games with. Go ahead, Evan. Did you want to?
Oh, no. I was just going to say, I think you can thread the needle. Like, Pajemski can play more than Klay on some nights while also keeping Klay in the starting lineup. To me, I think it also has to do with who's closing. And Pajemski last night was out there towards crunch time. Now they're kicking the crap out of Memphis, and they should. But I think you can thread the needle. And because I also think just, I know it Klay's a delicate subject for a lot of people just because of what he's been and what he's contributed to. Also, I think he's probably the most sensitive of the big three. And I also just don't think you can bench him or relegate his role to a bench spot in a contract year. So I think there's a couple of external factors that play into it, but I don't think you have to necessarily play Klay Thompson more than Pods. And that doesn't also mean that Pods, like, he can still come off the bench and play 34 minutes like he did last night, and Klay played 27. So I think there's a needle to be threaded.
Well, I think, yeah, that makes sense. But why play from behind when you don't have to, I guess, would be my point. I think that's the starting lineup. And one of the callers pointed this out, that why, when you can be more effective with another starting lineup, why put yourself behind the eight ball? And this has been proven that the Warriors in their starting lineups of late usually become reliant not on that bench to sort of, you know, sustain a lead, but rather to play catch up and then become sort of the driving force. As you mentioned, Pajemski takes over and closes the game. I guess my point in all of that would be, you know, why start from behind when you don't necessarily may not have to?
Well, I think that's a little prisoner of the moment. Like, they started from behind last night, but they haven't started from, like, they didn't start from behind against the Lakers. They didn't start from behind, in my recollection, against Philly. I know they didn't have Tyrese Maxey in that game, but, you know, I guess Clay also didn't play against Philly, so that would be to your point. I don't know, like, I don't think Clay's the issue with the starting lineup and Pajemski being in it all of a sudden solves it. He adds a different dynamic for sure, but I also kind of like just having an extra floor spacer, particularly for Kuminga. Like, Pajemski moves the ball better than Clay. He's probably a better help defender. I still think Clay might be a better on-ball defender at this point in his career than Pods is. But I just think having an extra shooter out there gives Kuminga more room to operate, and as well as Wiggins. And I think that's a benefit in and of itself. So, you know, Clay's not going to shoot north of 40% from three anymore like he used to, but he's still an above-average league shooter. Pods is, I think, a little bit lesser from three-point range than Clay. So I think there's trade-offs, and to me it's not as big of an issue right now as maybe we're making it out to be. You know, I also just think the starting lineup as a whole, though they might start slow with Clay in it, like it's been proven now. I think over the last, you know, three games, it's not much of a sample size, but the three games that they've started together, like, they have looked, I think, markedly better.
Yeah, I think that becomes the big concern. If there's one area that would be sort of a gray area and a level of, like, well, you're not going to be good in this particular space, and that is the shooting. Because if Clay is not, and I'm a strong proponent that he has to be replaced by Pajemski, more than anything else, just simply because they need to get younger. And they need just energy, and they need that sort of player that's just beating everybody up and down the floor. And everything that Pajemski brings to a basketball team with that high, high, high motor of his. But if you have Pajemski, the one drawback is now defensively for teams, you're not spacing the floor because you might be susceptible as far as Steph being your only pure shooter now. Because I wouldn't put Pajemski in that category. And do you shoot the ball? How much do you lose if Klay Thompson is now no longer part of that starting lineup because you just simply can't shoot it as effectively?
Yeah, I think, look, there are definitely things that Pajemski does slightly better than Klay Thompson. He can rebound more. I think he's more of a willing passer, you know, but Klay's role has always been to, in addition to hitting threes, just drawing attention. And I think that's valuable not only for Kuminga, but also for Curry. Because as much as I think Pods is a capable three-point shooter, if you just look at the majority of his baskets, they are assisted on. Like, he doesn't really create for himself, and not that Clay does either, but I think Clay is a better spot-up shooter. I think Clay has an ability to fill it up at a higher rate. Now, he can also shoot you out of some possessions. But I just think that this team right now has really one volume three-point shooter if you don't have Clay in the game. And that's Steph. Kuminga can make threes, but he's not taking eight a game, or I wouldn't want him to take eight a game because he's so good at getting downhill. Wiggins is not taking eight threes a game. Pajemski's not taking eight threes a game. And I just think in certain matchups, you do need guys that can fill it up from distance. And right now on the roster, though there are players that shoot a better percentage than Klay Thompson, the only two guys that to me I would consider, you know, dependable knockdown three-point shooters are Curry and Clay.
And again, this just gets back to, well, is that better served with him coming off the bench and providing that shooting? So I think when it comes to Steve Kerr, this has been sort of a slow warm to accepting that the younger players need more run. I think Steve Kerr came along sort of unwilling, I don't know if that's accurate, but from where I sit, I think the Warriors might be in a much better position had this been sort of the attitude right from the jump that these young players got more time. Now, when it comes to Jonathan Kuminga, you know, Jonathan Kuminga was going to be Jonathan Kuminga. I don't think there was any expediting that. He just needed to go through these growing pains to get where he's at today. But you just wonder where they would be if there was more of this, of the youth movement than what we saw sort of like just being relied on these older players. And again, I watching the game last night, I get it. Guy Santos makes sense because he's a similar player to that of Dario Saric, who wasn't available. But when I hear Dario isn't going to go, immediately I begin to think and get, you know, excited, because I like to see younger players play that have a level of prominence and guys that are going to be part of your future, to see Trayce Jackson-Davis get a chance to now get into the rotation and be maybe the sixth or seventh guy off the bench now that Dario isn't available. But instead, he gets leapfrogged by Gui Santos. And I think, again, I always preface this, I hate going after Kerr because I love the guy, but I think sometimes you just see this through this lens of, well, this piece fits, all right? I'm out without Chris Paul. That means Corey Joseph has to play. Well, not necessarily if Corey Joseph isn't very good. So I'm without Dario Saric. So Gui Santos, who was a similar type player, is on my bench. Well, he has to play because they, you know, it's a similar theoretically as far as spacing the floor. And then, like, sometimes, no, just think a little bit out of the box or beyond that scope and start Trayce Jackson-Davis, or not start, but have Trayce Jackson-Davis replace Dario Saric. Like, sometimes there seems to be a lack of innovation or maybe just creativity, as opposed to just sort of sticking to a script that, you know, this piece fits here and I got to do a core. I have to stay within sort of this template that I've built.
I also think last night was kind of just matchup based. Like, you look at Memphis, they don't really have a true five. I mean, Jaren Jackson
is your, yeah.
But he kind of plays on the perimeter. Like, he and actually, it was one of the things that really pisses me off
about
him.
How
like, he shot nine threes last night. That's
a
lot.
But he shoots threes well, statistically.
He's not a bad three-point shooter, but...
I'll let you go here, but wouldn't you... Wouldn't you say that bigs, primarily, that's the way they play these days?
Yes, but if you're looking at the way that Dario Saric plays, because we're using him as the example, compared to how TJD plays, they're very different players. Like, I don't ever want, really, Saric to be the five on the floor. I would prefer him to play alongside Draymond at the five, or TJD, or even Looney at the five, because he's not a great defender. And by the way, it looks like he's also going to be out tonight. Anthony Slater reporting that everyone is a full go that was in Memphis, but Saric is still out with an illness. Moody's return is likely to be Monday. So there's that piece of news. But I think Santos is just, like, he was a matchup-based, like, for example, tonight with Capella, who's more of a true five. Like, I think we'll see either Looney or TJD, and we might not see as much of Gui Santos. I also think their bench is just kind of thin right now, and Steve Kerr might be looking for a spark. Those are also players like Santos and Quiñones. I think someone brought it up on the YouTube chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union. I apologize for not remembering. It might have been Uncle Looney, but someone pointed out the fact that, like, they're not really the Lamb and Jerome comps that we were talking about earlier, because they played in the Warriors system. Like, they've at least been in the G League for a couple of years and understand the way that the Warriors want to play basketball. So I wouldn't consider them guys that you're just throwing in ahead of the young dudes just to throw ahead. But yeah, I mean, if Gui Santos continues to get extended run, he only got 11 minutes. TJD got 9. Looney got 11. So, you know, I think it was kind of a product of just the game itself last night. And if it happens again tonight against Atlanta, number one, if they win by 20 again, I think I'm gonna be okay with it. But I guess I'm less inclined to believe that that's just going to be something that will continue.
Well, I just think, bigger picture wise, it just gets back to,
yeah,
I have to cultivate my younger core because I'm going to be reliant and I'm just going to be riding these guys in the future as opposed to Gui Santos. I don't know. I could be mistaken. Maybe Gui Santos does factor into Steve Kerr's future plans when you talk about this team in, you know, next year and the years beyond. I think Trayce Jackson-Davis, just a fresh kid out of Indiana and the promise that he's shown, any opportunity to get him run, I want to see him get burned more so than that of Gui Santos. But what you say makes sense, because a lot of this is just matchup-based. But sometimes I think that if you're sort of, again, if you're that innovative coach, sometimes you just look beyond any of that. And that might sound a little bit ridiculous, but if you want to get your guy on the floor and give him an opportunity so that, you know, whether it gets to the postseason or even next year, he's better served. But a lot more to discuss, including the Golden State Warriors opponent tonight, that being Atlanta, and one DeJounte Murray. His name continues to surface there, Ev, as a potential trade piece. And the Warriors are one of those teams that, who knows, because Mike Dunleavy, it's still, you know, he still needs to see more, according to Dunleavy. The last time he talked publicly about this, he wants to see the Warriors play over the next couple of weeks before he pulls the trigger. could you see a scenario where DeJounte Murray comes to the Golden State Warriors? And more importantly, is he somebody that can help this team going forward?
I mean, he's a decent player, but the answer to that is no. I don't think he makes them any better than they are now. If anything, these issues that we're talking about with does Clay need to go to the bench, should Pods be in the starting lineup, you know, what happens when Chris Paul comes back, if anything, he further complicates those issues because he's a guard. And I think they have a lot of ones and twos right now. Like, he'd be taking minutes away, honestly, from Moses Moody, who people want to see play. Now, I guess that depends on who you ship out for him. It'd probably be Paul, maybe Moody's included. But I also just think he's too expensive for what the Warriors would have to give up. And I think the integration process would be a wash. I don't see the Warriors making a move for him. I wonder if he gets traded at all, because I think on paper he's a sexier type of player and asset than when you actually watch him play. Like tonight, he'll get his, and he's a quick guard. He can attack the rim and finish, and he's a fine defender. I don't think he's as good as people believe he actually is. Or he's not the defender that he was when he was in San Antonio. I think he had 1 year he led the league in steals. But like, I don't think that he helps the Warriors as much as people looking at his 20-plus points per game are thinking that he does.
Well, I think that anytime you're perceived as a two-way player and as young as he is, you're going to be coveted. I think that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to have a high level of interest. And I think that sort of describes this kid. He's also on the cheap. I mean, I want to say he's about...
Well, he's making a lot of money now.
He's making like 18, but he just signed a deal, but cheap relatively speaking. I mean, he didn't sign for a max deal. He's not going to be asking for one because he's under contract. But I think that when you think about his age, statistically giving you the 20 points a game, and you just brought up his numbers, what's he pulling down?
DeJounte Murray? Yeah. I mean, he's making north of 20. By the way, so he did sign a contract extension before the season. So you'll have him for 4 years. That would be the upside, is that you have him during his prime.
And his contract's relatively speaking, for a guy who's a two-way player giving you 20 points a night for his age.
His average salary is $28.5 million for the next 4 years, including a player option. So
okay, well, that maybe that's not a deal. That's basically market value, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, he's making more than Draymond and more than Wiggins. He would be, at least the way you're currently slotted with Clay coming off the books, and Chris Paul, he would be the second most expensive player on your team entering this offseason before you make any moves.
So DeJounte Murray coming to the Golden State Warriors, and where are fans at making a deal and bringing someone to Golden State before the trade deadline? You know, it was just a couple of weeks ago where it almost seemed imminent that this was going to take place, that the Warriors needed to upgrade. They had to do something. The Warriors were a team that was just floundering. I think, you know, the idea of just waiting for Draymond to come back and just see how he fits into things and assess at that point might be the best cause of action going forward. Mm-hmm. And that's proven to be true. Again, this gets back to one guy, and that's Draymond Green and his return to the Golden State Warriors and what that's meant for Andrew Wiggins, getting back to being that player that can be relied upon to give you, you know, big numbers and defensively to help out, and also, of course, unlocking one Jonathan Kuminga. So I think when you look at the Golden State Warriors, and I sort of even said this during their darkest moments, that this is going to be the team going forward, that the moving parts on this team with Jonathan Kuminga and Pajemski and then the return of Chris Paul and GP2, I think that you're best served to hold on to a team that's more familiar with themselves than try and upgrade with a piece or at least bring in somebody that's going to diminish minutes from somebody else and just, I think, be more of a deterrent than anything else.
Yeah, I think people have completely flipped. I mean, a month ago was everyone's on the table, and the only guy who's untouchable is Steph Curry. Now, a month later, it's like we don't want to trade anybody on the Warriors. I mean, I think Chris Paul's the most likely candidate, but I think how Chris Paul would factor in for me, kind of meeting you halfway, for example, on the Klay Thompson subject. I think if Klay was to come off the bench, it would be to be paired with CP3, because I think Chris is someone that might be able to activate him and activate the scoring from the second unit. So that would be the only way I could see them not wanting to move off of Chris, because they like him running the second unit. They like him maybe even playing sometimes with the starters if there's a guy out. They like his leadership. So they're less inclined to move off of him, but he's the most likely candidate. And I would personally like to see them add some size. Like, to me, Murray is a bit of a wash. One, because I don't know if they want to acquire a player that has four more years or three more years left on their deal, because there's not as much optionality as the Warriors have used in really over the summer, it felt like. But I think if we're addressing a need right now, it's probably size. And that doesn't mean you're going to go get someone that's going to automatically come in and start and play 30 minutes a game. I don't think they need, for example, an offensive-minded center. I just think they need someone that can take some pressure off of what Draymond is going to be asked to do eventually, which is night after night after night, be both an initiator on offense as well as your interior presence and kind of the center fielder. Not that he can't do it in a shortened playoff type of scenario, but I just wonder if it's sustainable for him to be playing 30 or more minutes for the last, you know, 35, 38-ish games of the season and keeping that level of play at what it is. So if we're talking about the trade deadline, you know, whether it's Murray, whether it's another player, and we'd be happy to take your calls at 888-957-9570, is there a need you still think they could address at the deadline? And if so, what is it? I think it's a big.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds good. Then it just becomes a matter of who's available. And, yeah, you get a big in here that can help you out and defend the rim and also put pressure on the rim on the other end and put in the dunker spot. But those guys are few and far between, and teams just aren't simply letting those guys. Unless you want to get a project or a journeyman, those guys are there. I don't know. At this point, if we've arrived at the point where Jonathan Kuminga is clearly not for sale, move on. If Andrew Wiggins is going to, if you're going to, you know, if Steph had a conversation with Lacob saying, you know, we finally have an identity on this team, and this team is now beginning to make sense, and I like the starting five. Let's keep Andrew Wiggins. If you don't have those trade chips, and you're just going to move off some, you know, some draft picks and Chris Paul, well, what is it that you're going to bring back becomes the big question. And I would argue that it's not worth it, because in return, you're not going to get that significant. It might be a big, but it's not going to be a significant big. It's not Lauri Markkanen. It's not somebody that's going to impact Warrior basketball, which really gets back to, because I agree with you, small ball is done in my estimation. Like, you need to move with the times, and the times right now is that you need to be big, whether it's a starting center, but that's sort of the winning formula right now. We always know how things are cyclical in basketball. That's where we're at right now. Why I always say that them missing on James Wiseman, because they understood the way the game's being played, and the fact that James Wiseman didn't work out really set this franchise back. And Evan, I think that has a lot to do with where they're at right now. And it's not a matter of choice. It's the fact that we have to play small ball because we don't really have any other options.
Yeah, 100%. And look, I mean, the Warriors dynasty has been built on quote-unquote small ball. They haven't really had a traditional five that's played major minutes in big games since Andrew Bogut. Draymond Green's really been the key to the death lineup, so to speak, in years past. So it's not that they can't play small, but I just wonder how long, if your rim protector in that lineup, so to speak, is Draymond Green. I think he can play for stretches quality, and clearly he's playing good basketball right now. He's helping them win games. I just wonder if that's going to be sustainable for someone that's at age 33 going on 34 playing heavy minutes against the towers that be. So to me, it's not necessarily adding a trade for someone that is going to come in and reorganize the hierarchy. It's just about adding some depth. And I do think there is a player or two out there that you can go get, and maybe we could talk about names on the other side, that wouldn't necessarily be cheap and also wouldn't come in and take away from what they do. It's more, again, just to be another option for Steve Kerr to throw out at the five when eventually you're going to have to play the bigs like Jokic. You're going to have to play you know, bigs with the Clippers and Zubats and Karl-Anthony Towns and Chet Holmgren. And there's a lot of versatile, large, 7-foot-ish type players around the Western Conference that you're probably going to have to go through. And I would just like to see them have at least another option to be able to throw at those guys.
I think it just gets back, before we get to the break, of they've been in search all year of finding the proper recipe and finding the proper, the most effective starting lineup and rotation. And it finally seems as though they have it. And so now they're going to disrupt all of that to bring in a big is I think, a question that they're going to have to grapple with. All right, Matthew, we see you. Phone lines open at 888-957-9570. Matthew, we'll get...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To your calls, the rest of the callers, and we continue with Warriors This Week right after this.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Ed, let's get right into it. We have some phone lines open at 888-957-9570. Evan Giddings and Dan Avona. Warriors This Week. Warriors to take on the Atlanta Hawks in Game 2 of a 5-game road trip in Atlanta. All the action right here on 95.7 The Game coming up later this afternoon. Matthew's in San Francisco, California. Hello, Matthew. Welcome aboard.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. My thought was this. I agree with you that we could use a big man. And a name that comes to mind for me is Vucevic in Chicago. I mean, could we possibly pull a deal and get, or maybe
Vucevic?
Russo and Vucevic? Oh. Vucevic, I'm sorry. I just wanted to get your thoughts on a deal like that. And I bring that up because yesterday, Draymond had some foul trouble. And, you know, you're right. Over the remainder of the season, him at the small ball center, I don't know. He's going to run into nights where he's going to have foul trouble, and we need some depth in that center spot. And Vucevic, he's a guy, he doesn't need to play a lot, maybe 20 minutes a night, but he's solid. I mean, he can probably give us a little bit of a presence there. I know he's got some defensive flaws, but I think he may be a good pickup for us. I'll take your thoughts off the air.
Well, I would agree with you. Vucevic would be a huge addition for the Golden State Warriors. And I'm a big fan of Caruso. I think one of the Warriors' biggest mistakes, and Jeannie Buss showing her level of incompetence, was getting rid of Caruso a couple of years back, because that's how you – I always maintain you win with guys like Caruso. He's got a little Pajemski in him, although he's a taller, different sort of player, but can shoot, plays defense. You always want guys like him. He's sort of a poor man's Jrue Holiday, if you will. Not nearly as good as Jrue Holiday, so relax. But and Vucevic is a quality center. He's one of those centers that I talked about that just simply aren't going to be available. You can get him, but then again, you know, you've got to once again dangle Jonathan Kuminga as a trade piece. I mean, do you really want to do that? So Vucevic would be an upgrade. I just don't think he's available for what it is that the Warriors are willing to trade.
No, and here's what I'm talking about. And look, they might have the answer on the roster, the guy that you like in Trayce Jackson-Davis. I think it's a lot to ask of a rookie, potentially, and we're getting ahead of ourselves, but, you know, in a play-in, playoff scenario against other veteran bigs, to ask him to bear the brunt of that. to me, I don't want to play. Why I would say no to Vucevic, even if you could get him for a lower price, is I would prefer the Warriors address a need that doesn't involve them getting guys that reorganize the shot hierarchy. Like, they're already going through that as we speak right now, because it looks like, obviously, Curry's your number one. I think Kuminga has arrived as your number two, or if Steph's not on the floor, your number one offensive option, because he also has grown in the facilitating category, being willing to move the ball. And then thirdly, you know, some nights it's Clay, some nights it's Wiggins, some nights, heck, it could be Pods. But I don't want Vucevic or a player like Vucevic who's taken 15 to 20 shots a game to come in and just all of a sudden eat offensive possessions away from the other players that the Warriors currently have. Because right now they're playing efficiently on offense. They're defending at a high level. And I don't really want to mess with that. Again, my thought process behind the deadline is maybe using someone like Chris Paul to go out and find a big that can fit. And Caruso would be great. I don't think you can get him. But someone that doesn't demand the ball. Like someone that can affect the game and help you without needing the ball. They can clean up around the rim. They can be a rim protector. They can run pick and roll. Like someone, and you might see a guy like that tonight for the Atlanta Hawks, someone like Clint Capella. Now that's not a big name, and I don't think it moves the needle in a drastic direction. But he's someone that can come in and be a 7-foot type of sizable option that can rebound, rim run, and could give you 15 minutes. So I don't know how expensive that would be, but someone along those lines, to me, is what you're going to eventually find yourself needing, because I guess I just don't want to put all the pressure on Draymond Green to be the five at 6'7". He can do it, but I think it's just a lot to ask of him, especially if you're saying, hey, you got to go play that position for 30 to 35 minutes a night for the remainder of the regular season just before you get to the playoffs.
So here's a look at some centers that are available. Robert Williams III, we saw how good he was with Boston just a few short years ago.
Nick Claxton too, Wendell Carter Jr., that's from the YouTube chat.
Kelly Olynyk, Utah. These names always surface just about every time this year. Bismack Biyombo, I believe now with Phoenix. So there's, you know, it's sort of the same old characters. You know, Clint Capella is a guy that, you know, in his heyday with Houston, he was their big. Remember with Harden and Chris Paul, like he was the guy that gave you that, you know, he was their big in the middle. He's a little bit older, obviously, now. I guess of all of these guys, including Capella and Olynyk and Robert Williams III, and I don't see that as a significant upgrade to what it is that you already have. And I guess I'd rather stick with Kevon Looney and a kid in Trayce Jackson-Davis, just because it's the continuity, I think, is what I'd be more sort of aware of and afraid of losing by bringing in somebody that I don't necessarily think makes you a better basketball team. And I get what it is that you're laying out, but I think that to solve that problem, I'd be more inclined to stay in-house, if that made any sense. So
yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at areas where they're thin, and it's probably the five. But then again, you know, they haven't necessarily in the past needed a guy that, like, they haven't needed a true big, to be honest, to be successful at their highest level.
Yeah, Ev, let's start there. Does that still work? Does that formula still work, do you think, for the Golden State Warriors? And I would even argue, even you're right, it was just a short 2 years ago. They won a title and didn't have a big. But even in those 2 years, the landscape now with Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren, I mean, it's sort of, you know, Karl Anthony Towns is not where he was 2 years ago. Much better basketball player. So even in those 2 short years, things have begun to change. Do you still think that's a winning formula for the Golden State Warriors going forward?
Well, I don't want to understate how important Kevon Looney was to that finals win. And really the run, like he had multiple, I think, 20 rebound games.
He got a new contract out of that.
He did, exactly. And it wasn't a big contract. I think he's making like 7 or 8 a year. But I think the reason why I'm looking at the five position more than any other is because of Kevon Looney's decline. And he hasn't been the same player. And he's never been like a 30-minute guy per night. But he could be if you needed him to against other teams with size. And I just don't think he's been the same version of himself this season to feel like I would trust him to all of a sudden just turn into playoff loon, you know, come postseason time. And I mean, that's why we're having the conversation about Trayce Jackson-Davis, right? If Kevon Looney was the guy that was giving you consistent production for 15 to 20 minutes or even more, we wouldn't be talking about, oh, well, TJD needs to play more. We got to get him in more. But Looney hasn't been the same player this year, and I think that's been really hard for someone like Steve Kerr to wrestle with, but also for the Warriors to look at and say, well, where are we going to get that size from? I would lean externally as opposed to internally, but the rest of the positions you're talking about, you're absolutely right. I think they're at a point, the Warriors are, where they don't really want to move any of those other pieces.
So the Golden State Warriors taking on Atlanta, the before-mentioned Clint Capela will be front and center for a Warrior team, and I think it's interesting to sort of kick around. The Warriors, who have done it a different way, yet Kevon Looney was so significant, against, especially in that Denver series and Boston. Remember those offensive rebounds that he just, I mean, he was without Kevon Looney and just controlling the glass, I don't know that the Warriors win that title. But when you think about the Golden State Warriors and just the way they played basketball, it's a different animal now in 2024. And when you get to the postseason, doesn't matter who you're playing, you most likely are going to run up against not only bigs, but young bigs. And young bigs, whether it's Chet Holmgren, who could be your rookie of the year, whether it's Karl Anthony Towns, as I mentioned, is now seasoned. And much like that of, you know, Jonathan Kuminga has come into his own. It's true for the Eastern Conference as well. You need a big, really, to be relevant, and the Warriors just don't have that guy. So I just wonder whether it's something they address over the offseason or whether they continue to just sort of, you know, toe the line that, this is the way we've done it, and we're going to continue with Kevon Looney and an undersized center if Trayce Jackson becomes that guy.
And I think also they are maybe in a position where they want to let this thing play out, because you do have some options in the offseason to free up money. I mean, even if you want to extend Kuminga, for example, that wouldn't kick in beyond the next season, because he's in year three, so you still wouldn't have that on the books. And obviously you get Klay Thompson off, Chris Paul comes off. Do you want to bring back those two players, one of those two players, neither of those players? Those are options for the Warriors. So operation get under the second apron is certainly feasible, even if you do nothing at the trade deadline. I think a lot of people have come back to just wanting to see how good this team as currently constructed can be. I just think that we're eventually going to get to a point down the line where some of the flaws that have been lingering throughout the year come to the forefront. And as much as I love the fact that this starting lineup now has showcased their wings, and Draymond, I think, has been a big reason for that. And I think I said earlier they're playing a high level of defense. They're playing a higher level of defense with Draymond as opposed to not. I mean, they're a little bit above average defensively since he's returned, as opposed to being like 30th in the league when he's been out. So that makes a difference. And then Kuminga emerging as an offensive force and as a consistent threat, I think does wonders for this offense, along with Steph not having to bear the brunts of the load each and every night. So if he does go for 30, you're probably going to be able to win that game. If he doesn't, now maybe you still have a chance to win that game because of how consistent Jonathan Kuminga has been. So, you know, I am kind of feeling like it's interesting. We talked about this last week. Like, are the Warriors going to make a move? Well, last year I didn't think they were, and they ended up making a move. This year I felt like a week or two ago that they were going to make a move, and now it doesn't look like they are the trade deadline. And I wonder how the fans feel.
Speaking of the fans, let's open them up at 888-957-9570. We kick things off to Berkeley. We go, and let's meet Rafi. Rafi, what's on your mind?
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Well, thank you.
Right on. You know, here's my take with the whole Warriors and big man kind of thing. I kind of think the narrative that you guys are talking about is a little off base, and here's why, in the sense that, you know, for the Warriors, I think they're, for their kind of like dynastic run, they always had a big man. And it wasn't just Bogut. There was Bogut. There was David West. There was Anderson Varejao. There was
Pachulia,
the guy who knocked out Kawhi, whose name I'm blanking on right now.
Pachulia.
Pachulia. Yeah, exactly. So they always had a big guy. And they went to the death lineup. They went small as their alternative look for short bursts of time. And so they always had someone who was a strong defensive presence, who actually did, in a lot of ways, all their big men were passing big men. They could pass from the top of the key in Steve Kerr's offense, and they provided some physicality. And, you know, obviously Loon kind of grew and came into that role as well. But that was kind of this descent into, I think, Steve Kerr kind of getting a little he had tunnel vision in terms of the small and felt like he could increasingly go small kind of all the time. And then it became their only identity. I think the Warriors used to actually have multiple identities with a bunch of, I mean, for some of those years, they had three big boys on the roster, you know, David West, Petrulia. They were on the roster at the same time. They had these guys that they could rotate in, get physical, foul, you know, play that offensive and defensive role. Bogut was a great defensive player, you know, and I think we've lost sight of what they did in that run. And so I do think that, I don't think there's anything they can do about it now, but, you know, Capella, wonderful. He's small, you know, and I just think that they kind of like are reaping what they've sown by a certain kind of tunnel vision and kind of obsession with that small ball lineup.
Rafi, well said. Yeah, and I think when we talk about the Warriors have always been small, we have a tendency to overlook and forget what it is that Rafi just laid out, that I really think this dynastic run started with the addition of Andrew Bogut. They never had a serviceable big like him who could protect the rim and then pass out of that pick and roll like he was able to. And then whether it was Festus Ezeli, who was sort of his backup, the Warriors would always replenish and make sure that although the faces changed, that they had somebody occupying that five spot. I guess my point being is that when you look at basketball in 2024, it's not so much that you have a role player like that of an Andrew Bogut or Festus Ezeli or a West or Petrulia or whomever, but now do you need to stay up with the competition that it's not just a role player, but you need a two-way player, that you need a big that not only protects the rim and can pick and roll, but somebody that's going to give you offensive minutes and is also not just somebody who's going to go hang out in the corner while the other four guys play. But in order to match wits with other teams in the NBA, are we at a point now that you need a big that not only protects the rim, but can attack the rim on the other end as well?
I mean, I agree, but this is the thing, and Rafi's correct. Yes, they had different versions of bigs, but they were nice additions, and they were easy to, I think they were, for example, like David West and Varejao and Pachulia. I don't think those guys played heavy minutes, though, is the thing. And I don't think right now Kevon Looney nor Trayce Jackson-Davis play heavy minutes. Like, Kevon averages about 19 or 20 a game, or has so far this year. TJD averages about 14 minutes a game when he plays. But again, like, they won those titles outside of the 15-1 because you were versatile, and you were versatile specifically at the forward positions. You know, not just Durant, not just Draymond, but also Iguodala, and Clay was a lot different of a player. He could play up at the two. He could play at the three. Like, the reason why I feel like they need added depth at the five spot is just because I guess I don't trust Looney and TJD to be those guys. The way that he's talking about Rafi's talking about David West or Anderson Varejao or Zaza Pachulia, less Varejao, more Pachulia, who started a lot of games and then wouldn't finish games. I just feel like at the beginning of these basketball games and intermittently throughout, there's a lack of size, and I just feel like it's going to come back to bite them because they're asking Draymond to do a lot in these regular season contests, and he's been effective thus far. But I also think it's because he's played half the games. Like, Draymond Green and his legs are fresher right now because he hasn't had to play that much. And the moment he came back, for very unfortunate and tragic reasons, they got a break. And so the Warriors themselves, the older players, do have fresher legs. I think that might be something that catches up with them after the All-Star break. And so I would like to see them add some depth. And maybe, I mean, Capella's a name, it doesn't necessarily have to be him, but just someone that can take some and relieve some pressure off the back line of a pretty depleted, you know, four or five position. And that's really where I would like to see them at. It's not so much about someone who can come in and just immediately start and take over and play 25 minutes a night. It's someone who can add depth, because I just feel like at some point that their older players are going to have those heavier legs.
All right, let's get back out to the phone lines. By the way, Comcast text line, let Jimmy Jacket, and the streak continues, 510, I love you. Daryl's hanging out in Pleasanton. Daryl, welcome to the big program.
Hi, first-time caller here, love the show. You hear me?
We got you.
Okay. Yeah, I heard somebody mention Clint Capela the other day. The other call. How tall is he?
He's 6'10", 240.
You know, he plays taller than that. He plays rim protection better than most, so I wouldn't mind him either. But let me throw a couple other names at you. How about Claxton?
Yeah, we talked about
him. And then also Kessler over there at Utah.
Yeah, I don't think he's available.
I would love Walker Kessler. He ain't coming.
He's in his second year. We could have drafted him, but we don't want to go down that road. Hello, Bob Myers, but go ahead.
Yeah. And then Jared Allen, of course, but that's on my wish list, on the top of my wish list. I'll tell you what about Jackson Davis. He's really his dad. He's really a power forward, right? He doesn't shoot from the outside. He's a classic rebounder. Yeah. And you can play him in the dunker spot, but I see him missing and leaving the ball at the cup because he's being contested so much, because he's tall, but he's not tall enough. Well, tell me I'm wrong, but that's kind of what I see.
Yeah, you sort of cut out there. I don't know if you heard his question.
Yeah, I think TJD in today's game is more of a five. I guess he was comparing him to his dad, Dale Davis, and who is, I guess more of a power
back
forward, but that was
Indiana
also
Pacers
20 years ago.
Yeah. No, I think he can play the five and the four. That's sort of the definition of the position. One of the reasons why I'm big on Trayce Jackson-Davis, and this gets back to Pajemski replacing Klay Thompson as a starter, is because I think the Warriors are an old basketball team. Still effective, but nevertheless, you can't, Father Time is undefeated. We know this. And you look at the numbers, and these guys are now in their mid-30s, which is old for professional sports. I know certainly that, Steph Curry is the outlier. But this applies to Pajemski as well as Trayce Jackson-Davis, is that their youth and their athleticism and their energy becomes so evident when you compare and contrast. You know what I suggest everyone do if you get an opportunity? Just get on YouTube and pop in Klay Thompson when he went for 37 and a quarter, or just pop in Steph back in the day. And while Steph's numbers are similar right now, but just look at how young and how fast and how mobile and just what they did besides scoring the basketball. Just simply how a lot of their shot creation and a lot of their points were just why they beat guys up the floor. The youth on those guys becomes so apparent when you just look at them when they were in their late 20s. And so that's why I think Trayce Jackson-Davis, him playing more on an old team, you can see when he helps. And I always get back to that Boston Celtic game, going back more than a month and a half ago, in that nationally televised game where he came out of nowhere and helped defense, and Jaylen Brown had a clear path to the hoop and went for a dunk. And Trayce Jackson-Davis on rotation help came from nowhere and blocked his shot. You just haven't seen that at the rim. I don't know the last time I witnessed that with somebody, a big, that had that sort of athleticism. So you get that tease and you're like, let's work on that. Let's develop that. That's exciting. And that's something that you just don't see with the Golden State Warriors. That blend of a youth and big, and you have it with Trayce Jackson-Davis. And so just sort of, when it comes to Pajemski as well, it's not necessarily, well, what position? And it's just simply because and need, it's because of their youth. It becomes simply the Warriors become more young and athletic. And again, to me, in order for them to be successful this year, it's going to be a blend of the two. That being the youth, the guile, and the experience, and this youthful sort of untapped energy with the likes of Pajemski and Trayce Jackson-Davis and Moses Moody and obviously Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, and I think that's a great place to kind of wind down Warriors this week with as we head towards 12, is the fact that, yes, we spent a lot of time talking about the bigs, and I can believe that they need some more depth, and I don't know, some people think they need a true five or an offensive-minded center. All that stuff is well and good. They're going to win because of how well Steph, Dre, Kuminga, Wiggins, Clay to some extent, Pajemski, Chris Paul. Like, they're going to win because of their big boys. They're going to win because their best players play at the level that they've played at these last three games since Steve Kerr has switched the starting lineup. And it's why I'm looking forward to watching the game at 4:30 or catching it right here on 95.7 The Game, is because I want to see if this starting lineup does have staying power and the commitment that Steve Kerr is talking about to it remains, and how they are able to turn that ideally into wins against teams I believe they should beat, like the Atlanta Hawks, like teams on Monday in the Brooklyn Nets that I believe they should beat, that they already have beaten this season. So if the starting lineup doesn't turn these results into W's, well, it doesn't matter who is playing at the five. It doesn't matter who, you know, if TJD is getting 15 or 20 minutes or less. If these guys that have been playing at a high level, in a small sample size, granted, continue to play with consistency, if Steph continues to give you good production from the offensive side of the floor, if Jonathan Kuminga continues to play two ways along with Andrew Wiggins and continues to grow as a budding potential star, as Draymond Green continues to help you more on the defensive end but also activate certain players offensively, well, then the Warriors are going to be winning basketball games. And all of this at the trade deadline can kind of go away because they will have solved this internally. As much as we like to say they should add this, they should add that, the Warriors are in a position now to potentially turn a corner. But they can't. We can't say that yet unless they compile victories. And that's what I'm looking forward to over the next week until we have our next show on Saturday.
And it all begins coming up at 4:30. Tip between the Golden State Warriors at Atlanta. Game 2 of the 5-game series. Don't forget to keep it here at 4 o'clock with the pregame show. FP Santangelo will get you set for action. And then, of course, it's Tim Roy with the call. And FP will have the postgame show as well. For Evan Giddings, this is Dan Avone. We'll see you right back here for Warriors This Week next Saturday. Until then, so long, everybody.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.